Ezekiel chapter 40. Beginning in verse 47 and reading to chapter 41, verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. And he measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits broad, square. And the altar was in front of the temple. And he brought me to the vestibule of the temple and measured the jambs of the vestibule, 5 cubits on either side. And the breadth of the gate was 14 cubits, and the side walls of the gate were 3 cubits on either side. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits, and the breadth 12 cubits. And people would go up it by 10 steps. And there were pillars beside the jambs, one on either side. Then he brought me to the nave and measured the jambs. On each side, 6 cubits was the breadth of the jambs. And the breadth of the entrance was 10 cubits. And the side walls of the entrance were 5 cubits on either side. And he measured the length of the nave, 40 cubits, and its breadth, 20 cubits. Then he went into the inner room and measured the jambs of the entrance 2 cubits, and the entrance 6 cubits, and the side walls on either side of the entrance 7 cubits. And he measured the length of the room 20 cubits, and its breadth 20 cubits, across the nave. And he said to me, "This is the most holy place." Then he measured the wall of the temple 6 cubits thick, and the breadth of the side chambers 4 cubits all around the temple. And the side chambers were in 3 stories, one over another, 30 in each story. There were offsets all around the wall of the temple to serve as supports for the side chambers, so that they should not be supported by the wall of the temple. And it became broader as it wound upward to the side chambers, because the temple was enclosed upward all around the temple. Thus the temple had a broad area upward, and so one went up from the lowest story to the top story through the middle story. I saw also that the temple had a raised platform all around. The foundation of the side chambers measured a full lead of 6 long cubits. The thickness of the outer wall of the side chambers was 5 cubits. The free space between the side chambers of the temple and the other chambers was a breadth of 20 cubits all around the temple on every side. And the doors of the side chambers opened on the free space, one door toward the north and another door toward the south. And the breadth of the free space was 5 cubits all around. The building that was facing the separate yard on the west side was 70 cubits broad, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick all around, and its length 90 cubits. Then he measured the temple 100 cubits long, and the yard and the building with its walls 100 cubits long. Also the breadth of the east front of the temple and the yard 100 cubits. Then he measured the length of the building facing the yard that was at the back and its galleries on either side 100 cubits. The inside of the nave and the vestibules of the court, the thresholds and the narrow windows, and the galleries all around the 3 of them, opposite the threshold, were paneled with wood all around, from the floor up to the windows. Now the windows were covered. To the space above the door, even to the inner room, and on the outside, and on all the walls all around, inside and outside, was a measured pattern. It was carved of cherubim and palm trees, a palm tree between cherub and cherub. Every cherub had 2 faces, a human face toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. They were carved on the whole temple all around, from the floor to above the door. Cherubim and palm trees were carved. Similarly, the wall of the nave. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord and our God. We ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see your Son as he meets us here in this world. Lord, we pray that you would grant us faith, that we might hear him and also obey him. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Ezekiel's vision of the temple is a procession that leads us higher up and further in. That procession begins on the outside of the outer wall and ends on the inside of the inner sanctuary. In that procession, we are led first into the outer court, and then into the inner court, and at last into the sanctuary. And as we pass from one space to the next, from outside the walls into the outer court, and from the outer court into the inner court, and from the inner court into the sanctuary, as we pass from one space to the next, we are led through a vestibule. And what is a vestibule? A vestibule is a kind of waiting room that leads to another room, a smaller room that leads to a larger space. It is a space between spaces where you are brought out of one place as you prepare to enter another place. And so it is that we find three different vestibules in Ezekiel's vision of the temple. The vestibule of the outer gate, which leads us into the outer court. And then the vestibule of the inner gate, which leads us into the inner court. And lastly, the vestibule of the temple, which leads us into the sanctuary. As we pass through each vestibule, we are drawn further in into the temple. But we are not only drawn further in, we are also drawn higher up. For each of the spaces into which we are led is higher than the one before it. For each one of those spaces is reached by steps leading up to it. The outer court is higher than the ground outside its wall. And the inner court is higher than the outer court. And the sanctuary is higher still. But not only does the height of each space increase, but the height between those spaces increases. The outer court is reached by 7 steps, and the inner court is reached by 8 steps, and the sanctuary is reached by 10. To be drawn further in is to be led higher up. In Ezekiel chapter 41, verse 8, we are told that the temple had a raised platform all around. And then we are told the height of its foundation, a full reed of 6 long cubits. And if you calculate the length of 6 long cubits, you come to a measure that is over 10 feet. The foundation of the temple, it was over 10 feet high. And here it is worth reflecting and reflecting upon and considering at least 2 implications of the height of the temple's foundation. First, given the height of its foundation, you may understand that it would not have been easy to reach the entrance to the sanctuary. For as we were told in chapter 40, verse 49, the people would go up to the sanctuary by 10 steps. And if the ground of the sanctuary was more than 10 feet higher than the ground of the inner court, what may we conclude about each one of those 10 steps? Each of those 10 steps would have been more than 1 foot high, which is about twice the height of a normal step. And so we may understand that it would not have been easy to ascend those steps. It would have been somewhat difficult to ascend those steps, one after the other. And so we may say that the ascent into the sanctuary, it would have required endurance. It would have required perseverance. And second, given the height of the temple's foundation, we may also understand that the temple could have been seen from the outer wall. And so the temple could be seen from the very beginning of our procession. And so we are never left in doubt from the very beginning of the end to which we are being led. From the very beginning of the procession, we may understand the purpose of the procession. From the very beginning of the procession, we understand that its purpose is to bring us into the sanctuary. Its purpose is to bring us into the most holy place of God's presence. So as we consider these 2 things, first, that it would have been difficult to reach the sanctuary, and second, that the sanctuary could be seen from the very beginning of the procession. As we consider these 2 things, we are led to understand that Ezekiel's vision of the temple is a description of the Christian life. Ezekiel's vision of the temple, it is a description of the Christian life. It is a life of being drawn higher up and further in. It is a life that takes us from one world to another. It is a life that leads us from this realm to the highest realm. A life that leads us from earth to heaven. And though we cannot at its start see the whole of the journey, even from the beginning,
we are shown the end. And so though we cannot see every place through which we must pass, we can see the place to which we are being led. And though we are not sure what hardships may lie between, we may be certain that glory awaits us. Ezekiel's vision of the temple is a description of the Christian life. The procession of the temple is the journey of the Christian life. From the very beginning of that procession, from the very beginning of that life, we see the end that awaits us. And so it is the vision of that glory that sustains us from the very beginning of the journey until its end. It is the vision of that glory that upholds us as we are called to endure. It is the vision of that glory that refreshes us when we grow weary and strengthens us when we are weak. It guides us in the darkness. It comforts us in grief. And even when we have lost sight of it, we know that it is there, standing before all things, exalted above all things. What is that glory? It is the glory of the Lord. It is the glory of the Lord in the dwelling place of God. Is this not why we confess that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever? For we live not only to bring Him glory, we live to enjoy His glory, to enjoy the glory of His presence. We may say that the sanctuary of Ezekiel's vision is the theater of God's glory. Not only as a place where that glory is displayed, but as a place where that glory is enjoyed. For what is it that surrounds the sanctuary in Ezekiel's vision? The sanctuary is surrounded by three stories of chambers on three sides of the temple. Each one of those stories having 30 chambers. And we are not told the purpose of these chambers. We are not told explicitly what these rooms were to be used for. But we may understand them as rooms where people might dwell. If we are to understand that the sanctuary is the dwelling place of God, then in Ezekiel's vision, that dwelling place is shown to us as a house with many rooms. And so we are able to imagine God dwelling in this house, not alone, we are able to imagine God dwelling in this house and his people dwelling with him there. But later we are told of the windows into these rooms. But there's something strange about the description of these windows. In chapter 41, verse 16, we are told that the windows were covered. But a window that is covered is not really a window at all. What then are we to make of these windows that were covered? Well, it may help us to know that the Hebrew word that is here translated as covered may also be translated as concealed. And so we may read verse 16 as saying, "Now the windows were concealed." But this also is somewhat confusing. What would it mean that the windows were concealed? Well, one way of understanding that would be to understand that the windows could not be seen. That is to say, they could not be seen from the outside. The windows were concealed from the outside. And so if one was standing in the inner court, he would not be able to see the windows of the chambers surrounding the sanctuary. If we are correct in understanding the vision in this way, the windows of these chambers, they would not be exterior windows. Rather, they would be interior windows. But what is the purpose of an interior window? What would be gained by it? After all, is not the very purpose of a window to let in light? But if we follow that question to the end, we are led to a conclusion that is wonderful. If these windows are indeed on the inner wall of the chambers surrounding the sanctuary, what would one see through them? Not the inner court, but the sanctuary itself. These windows are not for looking out of the temple. These windows are for looking within the temple. And what then would the light be that these concealed windows let in? Remember what we said concerning the windows of the outer gate. You could see through them the light of the outer court. And what did we say of the windows of the inner gate? You could see through them the light of the inner court. And now what shall we say of the windows of the sanctuary? What would you see through them? Would it not be the light of the sanctuary? But what is the light of the sanctuary? For we are told that the sanctuary was enclosed all around. What is the light of the sanctuary? Its light is the Lord himself. Truly, the sanctuary is a theater of his glory. for the ones dwelling in these chambers around the sanctuary would dwell in his light as they gaze into the temple, as they gaze upon his presence. Those dwelling in the sanctuary would have no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God would be their light. In Ezekiel's vision, the sanctuary is a theater of God's glory, a place where his glory is displayed, and a place where his glory is enjoyed. And notice the greatness of its display. We are told the dimensions of the sanctuary's length and breadth. But what are we never told? We are never told the dimensions of its height. But notice what we are told about its height. Chapter 41, verse 7. And it became broader as it wound upward. The chambers surrounding the temple, they increase in size the higher up you go. But when we think of going higher up, we tend to think of a space that decreases in size, as the top of a mountain is smaller than its base. But ascend a little higher than the mountain, and now you find yourself in a vast expanse. And ascend higher still, and you find yourself in an expanse that is greater still. And if the visible heavens seem to us as having no end, what then may we imagine of the invisible heavens, but that they are greater still? In Ezekiel's vision, the higher up you go, the broader the space becomes. And so this theater of God's glory, it does not lessen as you ascend upward, but rather it expands. And however high you ascend, the display of his glory only becomes greater. It only becomes deeper and broader and higher. And so no matter how high you ascend, you discover there is more to his glory than you yet know. And should you ascend forever, you will never cease to discover that the glory you have seen is still less than the glory that you haven't. And so it is that even eternity cannot begin to exhaust the glory that is to be revealed to us. The way to that glory, it has been opened for you in Christ. If the church is the vestibule of God's temple on earth. Then we may understand it as a place where we are prepared to leave one world for another. A place where we are prepared to be led from this realm to the highest realm, from earth to heaven itself. So it is that Christ meets us here. And here he leads us in that procession, a procession that brings us to glory. Let us be led by him and discover in him the greatness of his glory and the unending riches of his grace. World without end. Amen.